Jesse, caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy, because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me, to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on, as if nothing really matters. Too late, my time has come. Sent shivers down my spine, body's aching all the time.
Will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo
Figaro.
Magnifico!
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
Do this.
can't see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me.
Anthony Scaramucci. We hardly knew Chi. That's it. He's gone. He's gone. You know, when we first met Scaramucci 10 days ago, we here at the show played a kind of fun section of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
But now we've moved on to the sad part.
Mama, I just got canned. Barely got to the White House. Said some dumb stuff, now I'm out. Mama, my job had just begun.
Stephen Colbert, hey. Getting us started today. You know, everyone was taken by surprise by the ouster of the Mooch yesterday. It happened, just about 24 hours ago, right before showtime. So, and Stephen Colbert was talking about they didn't even have time to rehearse that. You know, he's usually a much better singer, so I believe that they didn't have time to rehearse that. Scaramucci, you know, if he was any kind of a decent human being, I'd almost feel sorry for him, but I don't. Did you hear his wife filed for divorce? Said his political ambition was just too much. And in fact, he opted to be with Trump instead of with her when she delivered their baby boy. Yeah. You know, there's so much that would be funny about this White House if there were anything funny about it. You know what I'm saying? There's so much humor there, but it's hard to laugh about him because the whole world is going to shit. In fact, did you hear this? This is Donald Trump speaking, I think it was yesterday.
We'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. It will be handled. We handle everything. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he'll handle North. Yeah, it was yesterday. It was right before they went into the cabinet meeting, which was the second cabinet meeting of this administration, only the second one. And he called it the boardroom twice during that little press availability there when he was introducing General John Kelly as his new White House chief of staff. Twice he said, "We'll go in the boardroom. We'll see you in the boardroom." It's not the boardroom. It's the cabinet room. This guy is such a fucking embarrassment. And so on this, we'll handle North Korea. Did you hear what Lindsey Graham said? Again, not funny.
The president has said, "We'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. It will be handled." In your opinion, over the next year, is it more likely that there is some sort of military conflict on the Korean Peninsula, whether that's a surgical strike or something larger? Or is it more likely that North Korea will cement its place as a nuclear threat in the world?
Well, this is the ultimate question. I know it's early in the morning, but
this
President
was on the Today
Trump
Show
has said,
this
I will
morning.
Not allow them to get an ICBM with a nuclear weapon on top to hit America.
Because he's such a great negotiator.
The only way they're going to change if they believe there's a credible threat of military force on the table. The Chinese are miscalculating Trump and so are the North Koreans. He's got to choose between homeland security and regional stability. Japan, South Korea, China would all be in the crosshairs of a war if we started one with North Korea. But if they get a missile, they can hit California, maybe other parts of America.
But every military expert says there is no good military option.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
There is a military option to destroy North Korea's program and North Korea itself. He's not going to allow President Trump the ability of this madman to have a missile to hit America. If there's going to be a war to stop him, it will be over there. If thousands die, they're going to die over there. They're not going to die here. And he's told me that to my face. And
I can't take any more. Lindsey Graham talking about Donald Trump is not going to allow North Korea to have an ICBM. They basically already have it. The only question is, were they able to shrink down the nuclear warhead small enough to put it on the missile itself and allow it to allow it to survive reentry? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. The one thing that stood out to me on the Sunday shows, and I watched them all, was this comment from Douglas Brinkley, a White House historian.
Donald Trump, unfit for command, in my opinion. I mean, you could go look at Godfather movies.
You said he's unfit for command. Let me be clear. You said he's unfit for command.
I think so. I think when you have a White House communications director that uses the kind of foul language that he does against fellow employees of the federal government and makes threats the way that he did, and that's supposed to be your solution to the United States' way they're going to communicate to the world, it means Donald Trump picked the wrong person to be his communication director. He has a White House that's leaking like crazy. As just mentioned, there are people ready to whistleblow. He thinks that you can govern by chaos, and it's not working. It is true he has this 36% of the American public backing him, but that means over 60% of Americans think that he's doing a miserable job, and the rest of the world is laughing.
Yep.
We have a crisis in North Korea, and we're playing these reality TV, big-time wrestling games because Donald Trump was weaned and raised on television. And it's become like a TV episodic president where every day you've got to say something sensational to make sure your name's on the headlines.
It's embarrassing. And China apparently is not at all amused by Donald Trump's tweets. That's how he negotiates with China. That's how he gets China to step up to do something about North Korea by shaming them via tweet. He is unfit for command. And I find it more and more difficult each day to laugh at his stuff. So now he's got John Kelly as his White House chief of staff. You know, he likes generals.
I like generals. I think generals are terrific. You know, they go through schools and they sort of end up at the top of the pyramid. And that's like a test. They pass the test of life. That's how they got to be a general and other people didn't. So I sort of like generals. And I like the three that I have very, very much.
He's a mental midget. He is a fucking mental midget. Anyway, it's quite disconcerting. So I do my best to get through each day, but I got to get serious here for a minute. You know, I do this show each day, and I do it sort of on the honor system, like public radio operates, where, you know, public radio, because it goes over the airwaves, they can't only sell you a podcast. And I always wanted to do this that way, where, you know, on the honor system, where if you could afford the podcast, that you'd pitch in a few bucks each month and it would sustain me. These days it's getting really hard to do it. So here's my beg, and it is a beg at this moment. If you regularly get the podcast or even listen to the live show and you can't afford it and you're not chipping in anything, I am begging you to please go to NicoleSandler.com/donate and chip in, because otherwise I'm going to have to stop doing the show. That wasn't easy to say, but that's the point I'm getting to. So we'll take a break. We'll do what's news, come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh, and we'll find something in this crazy world to laugh at. Okay? All right.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The nation is still reeling from week 27 of the Trump presidency, as Vice News lays out in one long sentence. Trump hired Anthony the Mooch Scaramucci as his new communications director, which reportedly caused Sean Spicer to resign, accused the New York Times of foiling an assassination attempt on the leader of ISIS, proclaimed that he has the complete power to pardon anyone he wants for a crime, repeatedly repeatedly and publicly berated Attorney General Jeff Sessions for recusing himself from the Russia investigation and not going after Hillary Clinton, pressured Republicans to pass an Obamacare repeal, any Obamacare repeal, after, quote, years of talking and campaigning on it, updated his nickname for Washington from the swamp to the sewer, bragged about his Electoral College victory to a crowd of Boy Scouts, praised Senator John McCain for returning to Washington after surgery and a brain cancer diagnosis, said Tim Cook will build 3 Apple manufacturing plants in the U.S., even though Apple hasn't said anything about that, stunned the nation and apparently the Pentagon by tweeting that the military will no longer allow transgender people to serve in any capacity, and lambasted all Democrats and 3 Republicans, including John McCain, for killing the Senate's latest Obamacare repeal effort. After the week in a sentence was put to bed, there was one more bombshell story late Friday afternoon.
The major shakeup that had been rumored since the day the president took office actually happened today in the president's inner circle. Moments ago, the president made this announcement on Twitter. I am pleased to inform you that I have just named General/Secretary John F. Kelly as White House Chief of Staff. He is a great American and a great leader. John has also done a spectacular job at Homeland Security. He has been a true star of my administration. So this means that current Chief of Staff Reince Priebus is out. Whether he was fired or resigned, we'll have to find that out in a few minutes. This breaking news comes the day after White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci publicly blasted Priebus as a paranoid schizophrenic.
The new week, week 28, began with the first day of retired General John Kelly's first day as White House Chief of Staff.
I have no doubt, as Chief of Staff, what he's done in terms of homeland security is record-shattering. You look at the border, you look at the tremendous results we've had, and you look at the spirit. And with a very controversial situation, there's been very little controversy, which is pretty amazing by itself. So I want to congratulate you on having done a fantastic job, General, and we look forward to, if it's possible, an even better job as Chief of Staff.
That's right, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see you in the boardroom.
He said boardroom twice, but meant the cabinet room, as they convened for the second cabinet meeting of the administration.
Good morning. This is our first cabinet meeting with General Kelly. He will be Chief of Staff, as you know. We all know him. We respect him, admire what he's done. And at Homeland, what he has done has been nothing short of miraculous. We have some interesting situations that we'll handle, North Korea, Middle East, lots of problems that we inherited from previous administrations, but we'll take care of them. We'll take care of them very well. But overall, I think we're doing incredibly well. The economy is doing incredibly well. And many other things.
But Kelly was in the first cabinet meeting, too, as Secretary of Homeland Security. Chief of Staff John Kelly's first order of duty, the end of Anthony Scaramucci's 10-day reign as White House Communications Director.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position, and he didn't want to burden General Kelly also with that line of succession. As I think we've made clear a few times over the course of the last couple of days to several of you individually, but General Kelly has the full authority to operate within the White House, and all staff will report to him.
Did General Kelly ask him to leave, or did the president ask him to leave? Did he volunteer his resignation, or how did that come about?
I'm not going to get into the process. TikTok, look, as we've said several times before, what matters most to us is not who's employed in the White House, but who's employed in the rest of the country. And we're focused on the president's agenda of growing the economy, creating jobs, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to be focused on.
And as the president tweeted at the end of the day, a great day at the White House. I wonder if he had seen the latest from the Washington Post at that point, as the paper reported Monday night that Donald Trump personally dictated his son Donald Trump Jr.'s initial misleading statement on his June 2016 meeting with a Russian lawyer and lobbyist in Trump Tower. The president reportedly drafted the statement while aboard Air Force One after the New York Times first contacted Trump Jr. over allegations that he met with a Russian lawyer who promised dirt on Hillary Clinton. The president's advisors reportedly feared the Times learning more about Trump Jr.'s meeting and argued for transparency with the paper. But Trump reportedly overruled them, crafting a statement that was later attributed to Trump Jr.
It was a short introductory meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to stop by. We primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active and popular with American families years ago and was since ended by the Russian government. But it was not a campaign issue at the time, and there was no follow-up.
The Times later reported that Trump Jr. agreed to the meeting because he believed he would be provided with compromising information on Clinton. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. Hope you'll check out The Nicole Sandler Show Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 4 Eastern, at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you. Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Laffy on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Got a laugh. Are you there?
Yes. You've reached the military White House hotline.
Oh, boy. Great.
Press 1 if you think Trump hired former Marine General John Kelly as chief of staff so he could dress up in all of Kelly's old uniforms and touch his gun. Press 2 if you think Kelly will soon be as dispensable to Trump as his three wives, 10-plus former White House hires, and 4,532 empty bottles of orange self-tanner. Press 3 if you think Trump keeps hiring military brass so they can teach him how to break through Melania's demilitarized zone.
Ooh. Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. Again, you know, this it would be funny if it weren't so frightening.
Oh, God, yes. It's just everything. Today's White House lying session was unbelievable. I saved a bunch of little tweets for you for later that kind of reflect what was said. But Huckabade is what I call her now. I used to call her Huckamooch, and then it was Huckamoochless because he left. So she's now Huckabade. She was up there literally lying. I mean, blatantly lying her ass off. It was, I mean, people on Twitter, the journalists that I look at when I'm trying to retweet what she's been saying, were just wide-eyed. They were like
about what? She what was she, what was
about?
She
about this whole thing about Trump dictating the press release thing.
Right.
She out and out said that he didn't. I'll read you the tweets when we get to tweet spot. But she just, I mean, it was really insulting to the White House press corps because everybody knows what happened. And she was basically just saying that the Washington Post made the whole thing up.
Did you notice she's not using Anthony's hair and makeup person anymore?
For me, it's hard to tell because I never think she looks that different, but.
Well, you know what? I didn't see her today, but yesterday she didn't have the fake eyelashes on and she didn't have the smoky eyes. So I figured.
Oh yeah. She didn't, did she?
No. When Mooch left, she got rid of the hair and makeup person that he liked. And obviously it was for her because she was the one who was wearing all the makeup and had the curly hair and stuff. They lie about everything. Everything that they say is a lie.
Everything. And their talking point about lying has been consistently, he was just joking. Whenever they get nailed by the press, whenever they get nailed on the truth, they revert to the talking point. Oh, that was just a joke.
Yeah. The White House is not supposed to be funny.
No. But even if they were, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt just for a millisecond and say, he was just the stuff, like you said, the stuff they joke about shouldn't be joked about. For example, the thing about police brutality when Trump was saying,
okay, here I have
rough
it. Let me play. This is what Trump said. He was speaking. It was on Long Island. It was a thing about gangs, which now I've read some criticisms of this, that he's publicizing this gang so much that it's actually like serving a counter purpose. It's propping them up.
Oh,
right.
Really?
MI-13 or whatever their name is. I don't know. It's giving them publicity. It's serving to bolster them a little bit. Anyway, here's what Trump said in front of all these police.
Now, when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon,
You just see him thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand over. Like, don't hit their head and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
Now, and first of all, the cops laughing and applauding that is kind of sickening.
That was vile. That was just awful.
And police departments all over the country are disavowing that. They're saying, no, that's not what we do. And, you know,
so is the DEA, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put out a thing and it was all over. But yeah, she called that a joke. He was just joking. Every single time. I think without fail now that he's come out with some terrible abusive type of comment or some major lie. The talking point has been just a joke, just joking, haha. If it was a joke, it's something you cannot joke about. You don't joke about abuse, you know, and then of course, assuming, you know, innocence until proven guilt.
Right.
Is that's a whole nother topic here, because he's saying rough them up. How do you even know they, quote, killed somebody, as
that's
he just
right.
said in that clip? But that aside, just that aside, it's no joke. That is not a joke that the president of the United States should make.
No, it's really sickening. It's. I mean, I wasn't watching the speech, but I happened to be on Twitter when that happened, and
yeah.
I saw the tweets start flying. Oh my God, the president just condoned violence against suspects, and then I had to go back and see what was said, and
right.
my jaw dropped.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of good Twitter accounts that come up with the clips almost immediately. I'd say within 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, like I think Brad Jaffe might be mm-hmm. one. It's either him or Kyle Griffin. I always
right.
confuse
Those
the two. That come up with them very quickly. And sometimes you'll get Josh Marshall does on Talking Points Memo.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's one more. But usually NBC comes up with them almost immediately.
Yeah.
So if you miss something, just check them out.
Okay. I'll do
yeah,
that.
That helps.
Hey, did you by any chance see this Maxine Waters thing when Steve Mnuchin was testifying before?
Yes. Doesn't he sound exactly like the rabbi on Seinfeld? He does. Is that, would you like some Kasha Varnishkas?
Well, let me play it so that people can get the reference. Maxine Waters, it was the House, was it the Finance Committee? Damn. I'm trying to remember which committee it was that, and I don't have it right in front of me. It was the House Financial Services Committee. That's what it was.
There you go.
And Maxine Waters is the ranking Democrat on the committee, and she was trying to get an answer to a question. And Mnuchin, who needs another vowel, kept trying to filibuster her. And so this is a little bit of the give and take from the questioning.
Is there some reason why I did not get a response to the letter that I sent May 23rd?
So, Ranking Member Waters, first of all, let me thank you for your service to California. Being a resident of California, I appreciate everything that
thank
you've
you
done
very much.
For the community there.
I don't want to take my time.
I also have appreciated the opportunity to meet
reclaiming
with you
my time.
Several times.
Reclaiming my
when
time.
We were doing our
reclaiming my time.
The time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Yes, it does.
Let me just say to you, thank you for your compliments about how great I am, but I don't want to waste my time on me. I want to know about the May 23rd letter. You know about it? Why did you not respond to me and my colleagues?
I was going to answer that.
Just please go straight to
and
the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I thought when you read the rules, you acknowledged that I shouldn't be interrupted and that I would have
reclaiming
the
my time. What he failed to tell you was when you're on my time, I can reclaim it.
She can. And the chair went on to sort of scold Mnuchin and say,
yeah.
It is her time. When we ask you questions on our side, we'll let you answer the questions, but it is her time. Well, there's a guy named Michael Gilmore, who I believe has been on Broadway. He's a singer. He's a very talented guy. And he put up a video. The video is better than the audio because there's six pieces of Michael Gilmore.
Oh, I saw that. The singing one?
And he's singing. He's doing an a cappella thing. I've got the audio for it. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but this is just priceless. Here we go.
Imagine the Brady Bunch squares.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it's all this guy Michael Gilmore, and here's the song he put together.
You want to talk about the things I've done, but I'm reclaiming my time. Yeah, you want to speak on the battles I've won, but I'm reclaiming my time.
Ooh, all right.
That's not why I brought you here to share it.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Yeah, don't read my resume, because I was there.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Oh, yes, I am.
My time.
Every minute.
My time.
Love this.
Every second.
My time.
Stop talking.
My time.
Do you know the rules?
My time.
When it's my time.
My time.
I can take it back.
My time.
Or
I'm reclaiming my time.
Hey, what about the letter?
Reclaiming my time.
That I sent you way back when.
Reclaiming my time.
Give me the answer to my question.
Reclaiming my time.
Or don't open your mouth again.
Yeah. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming, reclaiming, reclaiming.
Reclaiming my time.
Yeah, all of my time.
Oh, oh, oh.
I couldn't cut it off.
No, that was too good.
That was just awesome. Michael Gilmore is spelled M-Y-K-A-L Gilmore. His website is michaelgilmore.com. He's got all kinds of great stuff up there.
He should make a single out of that, and that should be a fundraising tool.
Oh, yes. That, to talk about awesome. Viral, obviously. It went viral really, really quickly. That was just great. See, that kind of stuff is awesome. I'm having a hard time with the Trump stuff.
Exactly. That kind of serves a dual purpose of getting your anger out in such a happy way. Like, you just get so happy after it's over that it's like he did the work for you. Now you can just relax and listen.
You're right.
But anywho, do you want to do TweetSpot as a springboard? Because I've got a ton of them.
Yeah, in a minute. I just screwed up my whole screen here, so I don't have my Laffy's tweet. Everything went blank. Oh, my God. I'm having one of those days. Hold on. I think I have it back.
Good.
That was good.
I'm losing my voice meanwhile. I'm getting really, like, pollen allergies or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. So I keep, like, I'm going in and out with my voice here. So if I start crying a lot, you'll know why.
Okay, just turn away from the microphone when you do.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Little delayed tweet.
I guess the Trump administration must have gotten hold of that one.
I guess so.
Because they'll screw everything up. Anywho, okay, so my voice is working again. Yay. So The Hill tweeted out something that I got a few responses to, and one of they tweeted out, Dem campaign chairman said, Dems are willing to fund candidates who oppose abortion rights.
Yeah, I saw that.
That just made me so mad. So Lauren Duca, who is a freelance journalist, said, this is a betrayal of every woman who has ever supported the Democratic Party. And then an account, William C. Sun, S-O-N, I'm not sure how you say that, breaking, Dems continue their policy as Dems to undermine their voter base and compromise for the benefit of the far right. There, fixed it. So, a lot of anger about that. I noticed that
as
up and down my Twitter stream.
As there should be anger about that. I mean, if Democrats are for anything, it's a woman's right to choose.
Right. But meanwhile, then I would see a couple sneak in of the more, I guess you'd say, middle of the road or willing to compromise Democrats, saying, well, no, we got to, you know, we need to go purple. We need to have more enter the party, and we can't just cut people off. We can't have a litmus test. Well, I disagree. We need to stand for something.
I agree. And the more people that are out there to possibly enter the party are more progressive, not less progressive. Again, if people want Republicans, they'll vote Republican, not Republican light.
Exactly. See, and they haven't learned that lesson after all this time. It's especially after the 2010 elections.
Yep.
We don't do well when we try to act like Republicans or even edge into their territory. Yep. We're not being more open. We're cutting up our own noses despite our blue faces. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to not stand up for principles.
No, the country is more and more progressive, and yet the Democratic Party hasn't seemed to learn those lessons. Again, the Bernie Sanders, revolution should show them that. I mean, that this is where people are, and by ignoring it and trying to go further in the other direction towards the Republicans, that's how we lose.
Right. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Ross Story put out a tweet, and then I have a little quote from it. So to back up what this little tweet says, nearly all cabinet officials attend Bible lessons with right-wing pastor who compares Trump to biblical heroes.
Oh, my God.
And yes, indeed. And this is from Ross Story. And the quote is, Capital Ministries, that's the name of this, president and founder Ralph Drollinger sees, and he's not very droll, sees Trump as the biblical character Samson, who was known for the source of his strength coming from his hair. In Judges, Samson is an immoral person who does little more than slaughter and betray people.
Coming from his hair, I'm sorry. It's still the thing that gets me the most about it. Every time I see him, it's what is that thing on the top of his head? And I see him with, foreign leaders, and I always think they're looking at his hair and wondering, what the fuck is that?
I know.
That makes it all the more absurd.
First of all, can we just keep religion out of politics? It has no place there at all. Zero.
And
except for freedom of.
Exactly. When I got to wonder, where's Jared in all this? How does he feel with the evangelical laying of the hands on? They did that whole thing in the Oval Office where all those evangelical leaders came in and they put their hands on him and all that. And now I saw there was, I saw something in passing this morning on one of the shows about an evangelical group being really upset about the whole Scaramucci thing, that they even had him in the White House with the language that he used.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, all these people who voted for Trump, all these hypocrites who were willing to overlook the pussy grabbing thing. And, all of a sudden they're angry at Mucci for, using foul language after the incitement to violence by Trump, after all the bigotry, the racism, the cutting out of voters, the voter suppression, all the brutality and the abuse and the anti-reproductive rights, everything you can think of that he's done, they get mad at his little mini-me for swearing when, in fact, all of our rights are going down the drain and they won't even recognize that. So they're willing to hypocritically put up with all this abuse and abuse of our constitution, abuse of our government. I can't even be, I'm sputtering because I'm angry right now.
I know.
But that they're willing to put up with, but Scaramucci says
sucked
his own cock, right? And that upsets them.
Yes, I love all the newscasters. I don't know if you saw John Oliver the other night.
But
going through all the different newscasters trying to get around the Bannon sucking his own cock word.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He's a gymnast.
Montage of clips from various news organizations trying their best to avoid saying the word. So,
right.
He can do.
Quite
He's
funny.
Amazing.
He is.
He's so good. Anyway, so Mark Noller of CBS said President Trump's that doesn't make sense.
No.
I think it was President Trump said this was first cabinet meeting with General Kelly. I always think it says Gene Kelly when I see that.
Right.
With General Kelly, overlooking the fact that Kelly was at previous meetings as
DHS secretary. I had that in What's News today as well. By the way, this was only the second full cabinet meeting that he's had
right,
in 6 months.
The first one was the praise.
That's right. The first one was go around Trump. The table and tell me how great you think I am. And this was the second one. And he said, this is General Kelly's first cabinet meeting with us. Not
yeah,
as
like
chief
the,
of
the boardroom.
Staff. Right. And in the boardroom. And he said the boardroom twice. Oh, my
exactly,
God.
Exactly. Which I didn't realize he said it twice. I knew he had said it once.
Yeah, I didn't play the full clip. He said it once in the middle and then once at the end of the longer clip. So
anyway, Adam Kahn, who always has good tweets, I don't really understand who he is, but okay. He said, does he realize the DHS? Let me try saying that again. Does he realize the DHS secretary is a cabinet position, or did he see Kelly as his private border security enforcer?
Don't answer. Yeah.
And then Robert Costa said on Mucci leaving the White House, sources also say POTUS and family did not appreciate how Mucci comments link them to vulgarity.
Oh, God.
Like to play rough but not be laughed at / embarrassed.
And grabbing him by the pussy didn't make you embarrassed?
Dylan Scott of Vox replied, yes, vulgarity never been before associated with Trump. And then Rick Wilson added, LOL, did Jared and Ivanka miss the grab-em tape?
So,
and then Salil Kapoor of Bloomberg said, psst, remember this quote, CNN, now, you know, reporting, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump supported Scaramucci's hiring. Steve Bannon vehemently opposed it, per White House officials. So there's all that hypocrisy going on.
The place reeks of hypocrisy. It's like the lying.
They are completely without credibility. There's nothing that they can say or do that hasn't already been contradicted by themselves. When what's her name, Huckyvade, gets up there, you know, people take her seriously. I'm not sure why they do or why she's holding these pressers, because she is a liar to their faces.
That's
which
the
I'll
job.
Go into in a second.
That's the job. You know, it started on day one with Sean Spicer when he got up and said, you know, more people watch this inauguration than any other inauguration in history. You know, that's when it started. So the job of White House press secretary was to lie to the press. And they do it every day, every time they open their mouths.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So Mark Jacobson, who's an historian, he tweeted out, and I have to admit, I didn't go through the entire article, but I cut out three paragraphs to explain this. The rest was a bunch of, like, not legalese, but it was very into the weeds kind of stuff. So I kind of skipped through that, but I did give you the gist of it with these paragraphs. Reports that Tillerson is rescinding all delegations of authority. State overseas will grind to halt, put U.S. and others at risk.
Can I just say, it's not like there's much going on in the Department of State as it is, because it's like a ghost town from what I hear.
Yeah.
Most of the positions have not been filled. Like I said, when the White House said that all non-essential personnel should leave Venezuela in advance of these bogus elections they had, I was surprised that even came, that there was anybody at state to make that pronouncement to tell people to get out. And with this, it looks like they're cutting it even more.
Oh, yes, they are. Here's what this says. We heard from sources that Tillerson has rescinded all delegated authorities last week. The revocation of authorities is department-wide and includes everything, apparently, from the authorization for use of military force, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action sanctions, and even routine authorities related to military exercises. One called it completely insane. Another said basically it's a clusterfuck. So this is really bonkers. Whoever advised Tillerson to rescind the delegation of authorities department-wide could not possibly be this dumb, because this is one way of gumming up further the entire agency, as you were just saying, much more than it already has been gummed up. Why, yes, if you need a pass for the State Department parking garage, you have to ask Tillerson's front office for that, too. The parking garage permit needs the 7th floor approval. Just think about that.
Oh,
with delegation of authorities rescinded, who in S orbit, I don't know what that is, has authority, a state orbit has authority to make decisions at the State Department besides Tillerson? Have these folks all been Senate confirmed so they can be invited to the Hill to be accountable for their decisions? Curious minds would like to know. So the concentration of power mentality seems to be in play here. I mean, this is what this is about. Get it down to the nucleus
Yeah.
And let them do anything they want.
And just a Secretary of State. And then there was, you know, Rex Tillerson sort of taking a time out last week because the reports were that, you know, he and Trump weren't getting along. And he was he was considering his future.
Yes.
So,
yes. Well, I have another tweet. I got to find it now in my little list here that is about Tillerson. If I can find it. Oh, here it's from Vote Vets. Rex Tillerson has ordered the State Department to rewrite its mission statement, removing any mention of promoting democracy.
Okay, you know what? Should we be spreading democracy around the world? Is that our goal? Or you know,
it's just that it's what they're basically saying here. I know what you're saying, and I tend to agree with you.
Right.
But I think it's. What they're saying is there he's avoiding the American principles.
Right. Because no, I hear what you're saying. Right. Right. You know, this president wasn't Donald Trump running on Hillary's the one who's going to get us into the next war. Trump is going to be the isolationist. Just, you know, deal with America first. This is a guy who's putting us in danger all over the world.
Oh, without question. I mean, look what this whole North Korea thing here. Peter Alexander tweeted and in caps, siren, U.S. to test an intercontinental ballistic missile Wednesday as tensions rise with North Korea.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, you heard the clip I played from Lindsey Graham. Lindsey
yes.
Graham saying we're going to get it. We're going to be in a war with North Korea. And, you know, Donald told him himself he's not going to let them have an ICBM. Well, they have an ICBM. So we trust Donald Trump to keep us safe?
Oh, God, I want to think about this. Anyway, so today's little, what's her name, Huckabade, I got to read you some of the tweets from it so you know
okay.
what I'm talking about.
All right.
They're random, so they may not be in order, but she said, the statement that John Jr. issued is true.
Don Jr. Don
oh,
Jr.
she put he put John. Isn't that weird? Uh-huh. I read it the way he wrote it. It's Don Jr. And then Tom is Namako. He's over at BuzzFeed. Nope, it's not. It was changed several times. Sanders defense. Look at the Clintons. Sanders on Spicer meeting on Fox News' Seth Rich story. The president has no knowledge of the story.
Okay,
these
can
are
we
all
stop
lies.
A second and talk about
yes.
the Seth Rich story? Because yes. this is one of those things that. That I've totally ignored because I know it's bullshit.
Me too.
It was a Fox story that I knew was made up, that I knew was bullshit. And so I would ignore it. But now, a Fox contributor is suing Fox saying that Fox and the White House colluded to plant this story that this guy who worked for the DNC was guilty of, I don't know if they're saying he leaked to WikiLeaks or what the connection was with WikiLeaks, but then he wound up dead. This is what I know of this story. Do you know anything more?
I read it and it went in one eye and out the other. It was something like it was all like Hillary was behind hiring him to do this. And it was just all I know. It was a completely bogus story. It really hurt the family. And now and then it was revealed, like you said, that this Fox contributor is suing Fox.
I guess Wheeler, Trumantown in the chat room is saying Rod Wheeler. I guess maybe that's who's suing Fox. But regardless, it has been proven that this was a fake made up story. But now this guy, I guess Rod Wheeler, if that's what Trumantown is telling us in the chat room, is suing, saying that the White House was in on it with Fox News to plant and make up and plant this story.
Yes, right.
Oh my God.
That's,
it just
that's
gets
what the accusation is, yes.
Weirder and weirder.
Right. And she denied it flat out, which means it's obviously true. It happened.
Of course.
Anywho, so yeah, that's awful. Let's see. She said Trump will work successfully with Congress by, quote, being truthful and transparent as he has every single day.
Oh God.
She actually said this out loud.
Of course she
to
did.
Us.
Yes. Truthful and transparent, just like they've been every single day. Again, they think we're all idiots.
I think they think nobody watches or reads anything other than what they say or other than Fox. And they don't realize that we do. She said on the Don Jr. statement, quote, yeah. The president weighed in as any father would based on the limited information that he had.
Oh, God.
You know, that reminds me of the statement that the which son put this out that or was it Jared? Somebody said, well, we can't oh God, I wish I could find this. Maybe I can. I don't want to get it wrong, but we're too incompetent to be.
Yeah, Jared. Jared said this was audio that was leaked. It was Jared talking to congressional interns that was supposed to be off the record. Somebody leaked it. Wired magazine got the audio. I listened to a little bit of it, but it was really hard to hear, so it wasn't worth pulling. But Jared's basically pleading incompetence. We don't know what we're doing. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, that was his whole thing. We're just new with this.
How can we trust them to keep us safe? How can we trust them to do anything worthwhile in, you know, for the voters that trusted them to be competent? I mean, this is just an admission of incompetence that he doesn't realize will backfire even more.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay, so that. And then, again, she said he certainly didn't dictate the statement. Well, that's not what the Washington Post is saying, that he did dictate the statement. Mm-hmm. That he stopped the other advisors who wanted to come clean, and they figured that the New York Times was going to be posting all the details of these emails, and they said, look, we better do it or we're going to be even more in more trouble. And Trump was the one that said, no, we'll put out this statement here. Let's say this and cut the other stuff out.
Yep.
Which is
entirely the feasible explanation, because anything else doesn't make sense.
I can't even stand it. She was also saying basically that it's the Dems, the Democrats, Hillary, the fake dossier and the fake uranium story was what we should be paying attention to. And that she was just lying to the press and saying, no, all this Trump Russia stuff, that's not true. This is what's true.
Did she bring up the pizza place child sex ring again?
I don't think she did. I was at this point, I was trying to put up tweets and listen, and I miss a lot, but I didn't hear her say that, no. But I wouldn't be surprised if she did, honestly. This goes back to what you and I were talking about, making jokes. He was making a joke, she said. What's funny, Phil Elliott said, who is Time Politics, what's funny about police brutality, the reporter presses, this isn't going away. No, it sure isn't. It sure isn't.
Right.
Nothing is funny about police brutality. We don't joke about that, especially if you're the president of the United States.
Right. Exactly. No, he shouldn't be joking. You know what? He's not a fucking comedian. If he wanted to make jokes, he should have just stayed as a reality TV show host.
Exactly. Oh, please. That's what he thinks he is, I think.
Yes.
Ed Boardroom.
Yeah.
Anyway, Josh Rogan, who is now with the Washington Post, he said, Tillerson said this on Syria post-ISIS, quote, what are we hoping to avoid is the outbreak of a civil war.
Wait, oh, my
what?
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a quote that came out today. He said that today. What are we hoping to avoid? What we are hoping to avoid is the outbreak of a civil war.
Wow.
What? I mean, what world are we living in again, Nicole?
Opposite world. We are in opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
That's where we live.
Ooh, there we are. Okay, report. This is from Joe My God, but it's actually New York Times.
Uh-huh.
He just quotes the New York Times. Report. Fox executive ousted in sexual harassment scandal is up for a White House communications gig.
What's his name? Short or something?
Bill Shine.
Bill Shine. Right. He's
a former co-cricket.
Yeah. As is again, they're now floating again. Bill Shine and Laura Ingraham. Yeah. And then there was some speculation that's Spicy, now that Scaramucci's out, Spicy might stay on and just become a communications director. I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I realize he's hired through what, August, or at least a few days coming.
Right. He said he was staying on to help the transition, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah.
I can't see them turning that around, because it really would be an embarrassment to them if they did that.
Yep.
Like, they care about embarrassment. What am I saying, Nicole? They don't care a bit about being embarrassed, or they wouldn't lie like they do, but all right. That would embarrass them.
By the way, did you hear that the head of, I think, cybersecurity, I think at the Department of Justice, I could be wrong, but it's somebody who's supposed to deal with cybersecurity, got pranked by these guys in Britain, email, and the head of the cybersecurity gave his personal email thinking that he was communicating with Jared Kushner.
Right. And then thought he was also, or somebody else, I think, thought they were communicating with... who's the new Russian ambassador now?
John Huntsman. President. John Huntsman.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And this was after they mocked John Podesta mercilessly.
Right. For falling for the same kind of thing.
For falling for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
And it's everything that they accuse everybody else of. It is absolute projection. They have done everything. And then some that they've accused Hillary of, Obama of, you name it. They've done it. Podesta, all of these people that they've accused, they've done every one of those things themselves. And the other people may or may not have.
Right. No, it is. It's classic projection. It's the I'm rubber, you're glue.
It really is. And it's an illness with them because it goes beyond just, I mean, yes, the people that he hires, maybe they're projecting because they're hired to and they'll lie for this guy. But Trump has got a real disorder. He seems to be deteriorating in his speech patterns and the way he writes and his tweets. And for John Kelly to, you know, he's the new guy in charge trying to keep everything in order and get those tweets out of there. That, today, Trump tweeted again about how social media is his desired outlet because he reaches a billion people. So he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And I guess that seemed like a slam at John Kelly, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, I thought so.
Like, but he was saying the only ones who want me to stop tweeting are the fake news and the so who knows? Who knows?
And my chief of staff. And oops, did I say that? He's such a dimwit. It's embarrassing. And meanwhile, globally, he is being called a laughingstock. Only it's not funny because the world could blow up tomorrow. You know.
Right.
I'm not real thrilled because apparently North Korea can reach California now with their little missiles. So,
yeah, I know. Again, that's why I said at the beginning, you know, there's so much there to make fun of. And I suppose in some alternate reality, it could be funny, but it's really scary. It's more frightening than funny. So it's hard to find the humor in these things. You know, with my What's New segments, I used to put a lot of music clips in and little snarky things. I can't do that anymore. Right?
You know, it's funny that you said that. When I was doing my blunt videos, more and more I found that I wasn't including the funny stuff. I remember doing an entire one on the shooting of the children in the elementary school, Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
And of course there was nothing funny in there. It was just a very serious video. I think, you know, you played it on the show. But it gets harder and harder because things aren't so funny. I mean, yeah, I laugh because it's the only way I can cope.
Right. No, during the election, it was easy to have fun with it because no way in hell would Donald Trump ever get elected president. It was just inconceivable. And then it happened. And more, I put these things together every day and I don't find the humor in any of it. So I've stopped making them funny and snarky. Now they're just straight news.
Well, because, you know what? I think that's right now it's probably more important to present.
Yeah, it is, I guess. I just don't have it in me to try to, you know, find the humor because it's not there. You know, the thing about the Mooch was funny just because of his name, and he was so absurd. It was just sort of such a non sequitur for the White House to have somebody yelling at a reporter about one of the president's chief advisors sucking his own cock. You know, because it's just so outlandish. But aside from the Mooch, there's really not much funny I can talk about when it comes to Trump.
No, not anymore.
Anyway, with that, we are out of time. We made it to the end of the hour.
Gotta laugh. We did it, and both of us, we got through it together, both of us being in bad moods.
Amazing. Well, find Gotta Laugh on the Twitters, GOTTALAFF, and of course at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Tomorrow, we're actually going to go to pot. Yep. Our friend Deborah Newell Tornello, her nursery finally got licensed here in Florida, and their chief medical officer, their chief science officer, is going to join us to talk about, really, the medical uses for cannabis. We're going to get off of politics for a while tomorrow, because I think we could all use it. We could all use a joint, too. All right, so with that, I will see you then. As always, thank you for listening. Don't forget, NicoleSandler.com/donate. If you can afford it, come on with a monthly subscription. Help me keep doing this. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's Tuesday, August 1, 2017.
The company says killing the project will save you the $7 billion it would have cost to finish it.
South Carolina nuclear plants canceled.
Authorities ordered visitors to leave, which means vacations have been cut short.
North Carolina's Outer Banks are out of power. Humanity is on track to blow past 2 degrees Celsius of global warming. Some coastal towns will see effective inundation within 20 years. Plus, blowback as Trump threatens to protect Alaska's environment.
Vote for my healthcare bill or the environment doesn't get it. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I had former Vice President Al Gore on the show to promote his sequel to An Inconvenient Truth. After all, there's no better way to show you care about the planet than sitting in a theater with the air conditioner blasting while drinking out of giant plastic cups.
Yep, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, during the recent healthcare insanity in the U.S. Senate, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke threatened Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski that the Trump administration would retaliate against Alaska if she voted against the Republicans' repeal scheme, and they were going to retaliate by protecting the environment?
Yeah, they were going to retaliate by blocking her pro-oil agenda for Alaska. However, as chair of the Senate Energy Committee, Murkowski controls Zinke's budget and confirmations. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he can block Murkowski's massive new energy bill that is now on hold in the Senate, in which she seeks to expand oil drilling in Alaska.
A lot of politics, a lot of people trying really hard to not do the right thing.
Two new studies warn that we are on track to blow way past the target limit of 2 degrees Celsius that nations agreed on in the Paris Climate Accord.
Oh, great.
The two separate studies, using entirely different methods, project that, based on current emissions policies, there's a 95% chance that the planet will warm more than 2 degrees Celsius by the end of the century, and could potentially warm as much as a catastrophic 4 degrees Celsius. The new projections are part of an emerging scientific understanding that governments are not ramping down emissions fast enough to avoid really dangerous climate impacts.
So it's almost certain that we're going to exceed this 2 degrees Celsius target by the end of the century, correct?
Yes, unless we reduce emissions faster than we are doing.
And that seems very unlikely at this point.
Another blow to the troubled U.S. nuclear energy industry. In South Carolina, utility companies Santee Cooper and Scana Corporation announced on Monday they will halt construction of 2 new nuclear reactors at the already existing VC Summer Nuclear Power Plant. That occurred after problems with the design of the reactor caused persistent delays and massive cost overruns. No decision yet on what that means for customers who've been paying in advance for years for those 2 unfinished nuclear reactors.
But the good news, they're saving taxpayers $7 billion for what you have described many times as the world's most expensive way ever invented to boil water.
In North Carolina, tens of thousands of tourists have been ordered to evacuate North Carolina's Outer Banks at the height of the summer season, but not because of a hurricane, for once. Officials say construction crews building a bridge accidentally damaged all 3 underground power lines from the mainland, cutting off all electricity to the remote barrier islands. Only those with off-grid energy resources can remain.
Oh, like people with solar?
Yep. Last week, we reported that the Coast Guard is planning for an overall rise in sea levels of about 6 feet by 2100. But a new study from the Union of Concerned Scientists warns many U.S. coastal communities will be hit with effective inundation in just 20 years. Effective inundation is disruptive chronic flooding on a near weekly basis or more due to rising seas caused by global warming. The report identifies more than 170 U.S. towns and communities that could be effectively inundated as early as 2035.
Wow.
But home buyers in Miami are apparently oblivious to these warnings. According to a new survey by the Miami Herald, two-thirds of home buyers in South Florida never ask their real estate brokers about the potential impacts of rising seas on their property or their future property values.
That's some smart buyers.
Finally, some good news. A top executive at pipeline company TransCanada says they may scrap the idea of building the controversial Keystone XL pipeline across Nebraska after all. That's due to a lack of customers wanting to ship dirty tar sands oil from Alberta. That negative outlook is not likely to improve soon. The Calgary Herald reports that oil companies in Alberta's tar sands have voluntarily given back more than 2.5 million acres of oil exploration leases because of a drop in demand and the crash in global oil prices.
So sad to hear it. For much more on all of those stories and the many we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide, please, on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.